One thing I wanted to talk about with this book that I feel like a lot of us should do this summer when we're waiting in a ferry line is to read this book, because you keep it real with, you know, getting to the ferry terminal. That's like a constant for all of us. Do you think that's a stress you'll ever get over?
No, I will live with BC Ferries stress for the rest of my life. And it won't be that long, because I think the BC Ferries stress has shaved years off my life and many other coastal British Columbians' life. Now, that's not a slight against BC Ferries. It just shows how popular they are and how we know that getting, it's just like life is better on the other side.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of quirks. Like I take, to get to Desolation Sound, I take two ferries. And that second ferry, I don't get it. Like, it can be the busiest long weekend of the summer, and in their cafeteria, they put out three hot dogs. for 250 people, they put out three hot dogs. And I've said something about this. I've said, you know, like, could you up the hot dog game a little bit? Like, maybe 10, 15 hot dogs. And they're like, well, we'll think about it.
Yeah.
May long weekend, this May long weekend that just passed.
Yeah.
Get up there. Ferries packed. Ferry terminals packed. Get up there. Get to their little cafeteria. Three hot dogs.
Oh.
Like, what is your... And of course, like, the first people get the hot dogs. 247 people go hungry.
They go hungry... Or they buy the Rice Krispie, the oversized Rice Krispie square. That's my go-to.
Yeah, they have to go into something that's packaged in some sort of plastic. But the other thing is, where we catch the second ferry is a place called Earl's Cove.
Cove, yeah.
And my dad used to call that place where hope goes to die because no one ever makes the ferry there. And there's a restaurant there that's been under new management for 37 years. and somehow every new manager that gets to that restaurant is somehow hoodwinked, I think, into managing it. And no one ever tells them that their new restaurant is at a ferry terminal, because the new managers always seem completely shocked and taken aback when 200 cars all arrive at once.
Yeah, like, and, this isn't part of the deal. This isn't part of the deal.
Yeah. Like, where did all these cars come from? What's happening? What's going on? And I think the worst decision ever at that location in Earl's Cove, the restaurant there, which is currently closed, by the way, the last manager was just like, I can't take it anymore. I just boarded the place up. But the worst decision at that restaurant was, in the 1990s, I remember one manager came in and decided to make a made-to-order slow-roasting chicken restaurant.
Oh, my God.
I guess the word slow and then the words made-to-order and the words roasting all were the wrong decision for a ferry terminal.
I think, and if you need an interview subject, I think you need to write your next book about just the ferry and waiting and all the things about it, because I'm getting like PTSD from going back and forth to the island. Or when you go, when you go to Hornby, there's like a, when you get on the boat to come back over to Denman and then back over to the other island, to Vancouver Island, there's like a bar. And every time I go in there, I'm like, there's nobody in here, but they make,
I know the one.
They make, they actually make a really good burger, but it's like, they're ready. I don't care how they make it, because by the time you get there, you are so hungry, you'll eat anything. Cool.
And it's also so dark in that bar that you can't even tell if they're cooked.
Yeah, like you can't.
It's like entering like a photo lab, like a dark room. You can't see anything.
Yeah, it totally
like,
is.
Where's the counter? I have to feel around, because you're going from the brilliant sunshine of Hornby and all those good-looking people on Hornby.
Oh yeah,
into this dark den where they serve mystery meat wrapped in tinfoil.
Yeah.
But there is a whole other book about just ferries for sure, and the level of good looking. If all the people going to Vancouver Island, they're semi good looking.
Yeah.
But if you're going to Denman Island, they're pretty good looking. But if they're continuing on to Hornby, they're gorgeous.
They're elites. They're elites because
total elites.
They're going to Tribune Bay, or maybe they're gonna meet some friends on their boat over from Savory.
Savory's another one. At Earl's Cove, all the good-looking people always are going to Savory Island. It's totally unfair. And my sister and I were the ugly ones.
I always remember going to Main Island as a kid, because that's what always resonated with me with your first book. It was like the brother-sister combination and feeling like total outcasts. And when you would take the ferry from Tawasin to Galliano, and then when we'd get off at Maine, it was like us and a bunch of rumpled up old hippies.
Yes.
And then all the elites were going to like Saturna to eat lamb or Pender.
They're going. Yeah, all the losers got off at Maine.
Yeah.
And then all the better people kept going.
They kept going. I still remember my dad had a Trans Am and we had a trailer and he got the thing on the boat and towed it over to Main Island, and the parcel of land we had at the time, similar to Desolation Sound and what your dad did, somebody subdivided a bunch of lots, trying to get up that this tiny dirt hill. And I still can hear my dad swearing. Hear him swearing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I should say Main Island now, very nice. The people there are mostly semi good looking, so it has swung around.
It's improved. Like they've definitely brought in some plants for sure. One of my final questions I really love this book, and I was glad that I was able to read it while I was waiting for ferries. It made me experience it even that much better. With your boat Big Bucks, why hasn't Phillips offered you money to call it Blue Bucks?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I don't know why Matt Phillips from Phillips Brewing has not stepped up with that obvious offer. I mean, Big Bucks is blue.
Yeah.
I mean, and I pretty much exclusively drink Blue Buck these days and Phillips beer, and have for many, many years, ever since they first came along. So yeah, I don't know. I gotta make that connection for sure, because let's just say that Big Bucks needs a pretty serious overhaul. As Jill always says, this is the definition of a beater. but it's got a new motor on it, so she still charges as fast as any boat on the water. But yeah, it's seen better days.
Yeah, but we gotta. You know what? I want to see that thing in dry dock next to the Queen of, I don't know, No Return, and just get a full on paint job. And Blue Buck could wrap it. Blue Buck could wrap it.
So great! Yeah, amazing.
That was
Of course, if my neighbors haven't thought that I've sold out already, that would definitely put it completely over the top.
You would be. You know what? You would be one of those elites at Earl's Cove.
Yes, finally.
Finally, like,
this would be the equivalent. I remember back in touring days, Export A came along, the cigarette company came along and offered the Vancouver indie bands all the money in the world plus their own tour bus to go on tour, just as long as the tour bus is wrapped in a gigantic advertisement for Export A cigarettes. And most of the bands said no, but I'm pretty sure that Limlifter said yes. I don't want to throw them under the cigarette bus, but that's what I recall.
The Doll Brothers wouldn't have turned that down.
Yeah, well, they're in Saskatchewan, so they're like, hey, come on. So that wrapping the boat with Blue Buck might be a little bit similar to that. There was a lot of blowback in the scene from that Export A thing.
I do recall, too, when Widemouth Mason had a tour bus wrapped with a condom company all over it. And I distinctly
wishful thinking.
Yeah,
I think that tour was called.
Yeah. We really tried. And I remember the tour bus outside of Richards on Richards, and going, "Wow, man, they must be super rich if some condom company is sponsoring them."
Yeah, and then Red Bull did it for a while. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Red Bull did. I do remember, and I always remember the jazz festival was Du Maurier for the longest time.
For the longest time, the Du Maurier Jazz Festival. For some reason, that wasn't as offensive.
No.
It's like at Du Maurier, there was just something about the French name or something that made it sound kind of smoky jazz.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're in a speakeasy and we're just smoking Dumars and listening to some guy.
Yeah.
Grant, I could talk to you all day. I